And happy Sabbath, and happy New Year, and because I don't know for sure, happy birthday to whoever it may apply to. Well, probably applies to somebody here today. Anybody have a birthday like in the last week or the coming? You probably wouldn't admit it anyway, but you could tell on somebody. Somebody you know here who has a birthday like this last week or, oh, somebody's being pointed to right up there. All right, good. Well, happy birthday to all of you, and I hope this new year is great. You know, when that story was being told, Karen, I thought, wow, some people eat 12 sweet things, some people eat 12 grapes, some people, I got, what would an Adventist eat? And I thought, well, you could eat 12 Vegilinks, and I thought, well, that's a lot of Vegilinks, and you know, you'd have to buy two cans, and that's kind of expensive, because you only get 10 in a can. So then I thought, well, maybe you could eat 12 scallops. And I thought, could anybody eat 12 scallops? I thought, yeah. And I kept thinking, I thought, I need to think smaller. And I thought, well, maybe 12 pieces of TVP. And I, no, after you eat that, it's going to swell up in your stomach. So that's not a good idea. So then I finally settled on 12 chocolate covered almonds. I thought, that's probably the best choice right there. Okay. But that was a great story. I like that story very much. That was good. This, what did you get for Christmas? Anybody get anything for Christmas that you would admit to? Well, I have, when we first moved over here from Upper Columbia Conference from Spokane, I had a dog. I've always had a dog from the time I can remember. And I had a beautiful Rhodesian Ridgeback that I just loved. Her name was Lady. Great dog, really terrific, good watchdog, good friend, good to walk with. She used to play with the deer all the time in Spokane. It was so funny to watch. She would chase them, and then they would chase her, just like, you know, back and forth. And so I got to thinking about that later. I said to my wife, you know, Lady was basically training those deer to chase dogs. So I said, imagine a coyote coming up to a deer one time, and the coyote looks at, or the deer looks at the coyote and says, oh, a dog, and starts chasing the coyote. And probably the coyote said to its mother, Mom, you never told me about that. You know. But when we got over here, too big a dog to keep in a typical residential area for her sake. So our son, who lives on 10 acres up in British Columbia, and he was saying that, you know, he was looking for a dog. He needed a dog. And I said, oh, it was hard to do. But I said, you know, his name is Keith. I said, Keith, we really need to find a home for Lady. I said, are you interested in having Lady? Because I, you know, I'd much rather give her to somebody that I know is going to take good care of her. And so, yeah, you know, are you sure? I said, no, I don't want to, but for her sake, yeah. And so he said, yeah, that'd be great. So a couple of years ago, we gave Lady to Keith. And it was hard to do because we just loved her, but for her sake, you know. So she's been so happy up there. And I've been praying for 2 years that God would somehow help me to find a smaller dog. And I don't know if any of you have ever thought about getting a dog, but trying to find a dog in this area is crazy. If you look anywhere, you know, they want millions of dollars for, you know, for the hope of a dog, not even a dog. And so it's ridiculous. So I've been praying. And my wife has been praying. My daughter's been praying because they all know how important that is to me. Well, for Christmas, my son Keith that I just mentioned, he said, so it's Christmas morning. And he says, so Dad, he says, we have a present for you. And no, I had no clue of anything. And he says, so you got to hold out your hands and you can't open your eyes. And he said, and no cheat this time. I said, okay. So I kept my eyes closed and I didn't cheat. And I held out my arms, you know. And he puts Buster. They had a dog that they got a couple of years ago. It's a Jack Russell, but it's a little unusual. It's a full-bred Jack Russell, but it's got a little bit longer hair, and they are of a calmer nature too. And so so he puts Buster, and I knew Buster, and I love Buster. Buster's a great dog. And so he put Buster in my arms, and I couldn't believe it. And I looked at him. I said, are you sure? He says, yeah. He says, we've got too many kids in the house now. We got to get rid of Buster, you know. And he says, besides, you gave us Lady, so it's only fair you take Buster. I said, okay, you know. So for Christmas this year, this is Keith, and there's Buster. And he says, now, Dad, he says, I want to show you something. Now, I need the sound turned up for this. This is a video. He says, so, and now I got to tell you another thing, too. So when Keith was, I've sing all the time. I sing at home. I sing in the car. We sing on trips. We're always singing. So one day I sang the cattle call. I don't know if any of you know what that song is, the cattle call. It's a yodel. It's a country song. And Keith, when he was a boy, he just really loved that song. He said, Dad, teach me how to do that. So I taught him how to sing the cattle call. And he took it from there, and Keith has actually won some awards for his yodeling. So now, here we go. See if we can make this thing work. Now, what happened here? I'll go back. I had it working earlier. And it was working on this thing, too. Oh, it's not their fault this time. It would be mine. There we go. So I got a yodeling dog for Christmas. So that's been a lot of fun. Now, on a more serious note, New Year's coming up. What you all know this, you hear it on the radio, it's on TV, it's on all the news programs. What do people all around the world do at the beginning of a new year? They make resolutions. Yeah, New Year's resolutions. And have you heard what the number one New Year's resolution always is every single year, year after year? This year I'm going to
lose weight.
I say that, don't you say that? And the older you get, the more you want to do it, you know. And so, I've Christmas was coming up, and of course in our home, probably in your home too, way more food. Way more rich food than you normally have, and of course you look forward to it, and you kind of go, you know, if I'm trying to lose weight, should I, you know? But you're going to eat it anyway, so you do that. So I was praying. I actually prayed in the car on the way to Spokane to celebrate Christmas. I prayed and I said, Lord, please help me to be careful. I don't want to overeat. I don't want to eat too much, even of good stuff. You know, help me to be careful. So I'm praying this way. I talked to him about all kinds of stuff. So we're going over there like that, and so we get there, and lots of good stuff, and you know, I was thankful, because I didn't overeat, I really didn't, and I was really happy about that. And that very afternoon, I got the stomach flu, and so I lost 3 pounds in like 2 days. It was like great, you know, and the reason Dolly's not here today is because I shared it with her, so now, you know, so she's home laying down on the bed, and trying to recuperate. But that's a good thing about getting, you know, there's something good in everything. In fact, my daughter said to me not long ago, she said, Dad, do you ever think about dying? I said, not if I can help it. And she said, do you ever worry about it? I said, no. I said, I don't. I said, besides, there's good things about dying. And she said, like what? I said, well, I'll finally lose the weight I want to lose, for one thing. That's the number one. Do you know what the number two resolution is for New Year's? It's going to be, I'm going to quit. It's smoking. Yeah, that's still number two. I'm going to quit smoking. And you would think that people wouldn't even start, you know, by the time it's 2018, but they still do. So, and I'm really glad. And this brings up Richard's class. I was really all excited when I heard you're going to do Exodus, because Exodus, the word Exodus means to be called out or drawn out. And so he's going, this is kind of funny, he's going to exegete Exodus. Exegete means to bring out, and he's going to bring out of the brought out, but anyway. So Exodus is really cool, because you know what Exodus is all about? Exodus is about getting out of the rut, getting away from what you're stuck in, getting unstuck. That's what Exodus is about. So if any of you are making New Year's resolutions and you're saying, I want to change my rut and I want to, you know, get free, then you should be in Richard's class. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it as we study the book of Exodus. And so New Year's is about having a change in your life, getting rid of old stuff that's not so good for you and moving in a new direction. And so with your Bible out, I'd like you to take a look at a few Bible texts with me this morning as we focus on that upper room. We want to have more of God's presence in our life, don't we? More of God's presence in our life. And the Bible teaches us how to do that. It's surprisingly simple, but also surprisingly overlooked. What it says, if you turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Luke, writing there, says, "It is in Christ that we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being." Jesus is the person, the one, who gives us the ability to get from point A to point B. If you want to make more money in your business, in the long run, there's short-run ways to do it that are not biblical and are not approved by God. But if you want to make more money in the long run and have your business be more successful, then you need to follow Jesus. If you want to have better health, then you need to follow Jesus and the principles of His Word. If you want to have a better marriage in 2018, then you need to follow Jesus, because He shows you, He's the one who created male and female. He knows how to have a better relationship. Following Christ, your marriage will get better. I've seen the most miraculous things in marriages over the years. I've seen people who absolutely hated each other, who completely fell back in love with each other, when they both became converted and focused on Christ. And suddenly then they fall back in love with each other and they have a happy home. If you want to have a better family relationship with your children, then determine to focus on Jesus. He can show you how to be a great dad. He can show you how to be a great mom and have a wonderful family. In Him we live and move. I love this verse, Philippians 1:21. "For to me to live is Christ." You know, for to me to... There are lots of things that make up our lives that we enjoy. You know, if you're a football fan, you enjoy that. If you're a baseball fan, you enjoy that. If you're into gardening, you enjoy that. And I always look forward to February every year because I start planting my tomatoes, you know, and getting those things going so that by the time March and April come, if the weather's good at the right time, you can get them in the ground. If you have raised beds, you can get your tomatoes around here, you can get your tomatoes in the ground a lot earlier because they have better drainage with all the rain. So, but I look forward to, I enjoy that. I like music. A lot of things are in my life. I like 12 chocolate-covered almonds on New Year's Eve, you know. But I don't live for those things. I don't live for those things. For to me, to live is Christ. It's like the hymn in our hymn book says, it's all about Jesus, all to Jesus. In John 3:16, only in Him are we saved. I always like to repeat that whenever we can. It's something we all know. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." As we focus on Jesus in 2018, we will have more of the presence of God. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, and as any Christian for that matter, there are things in the Bible that we read and study about. It could be creation, it could be science of different types, it could be health, it could be how to do this or how to do that. But if Christ is not the center of the doctrine that you're focusing on, then you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The Sabbath is super important. I mean, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth. But if Christ is not in the Sabbath, if Christ is not in your Sabbath, you've missed the point. The commandments are important because of Jesus. When He was questioned about it, He said the commandments are based on love, the love of God and the love for our fellow man. And if you miss out, if Christ is not in your commandments, then you're not catching the point of the commandments, which is to love. And so as we focus on Christ, everything takes its proper place. We see things as we should see them. In John 14, as we focus on Christ, verse 15 to 17 and verse 23, He says, "We will come and we will make our home with you." As we focus on Jesus, we have more of God's presence in our life. We become sweeter as individuals. Doesn't mean you're a pushover, but it means you're a nicer person That's kind of cool to be a nicer person, right? And when Jesus is in your life, you're a happier person. Not everything in 2018 is going to go great. But if Christ is in your life, it's okay. My wife and I are calling 2017 the year of the thief. We've never almost, I can't even remember the last time we had anything stolen from us, okay? I can't remember. But in 2017, it happened four times. Somebody stole the tailgate off our trailer just for the license plate, I guess. I even laughed about that. I said, really? You want a piece of plywood that bad you have to steal it? You know, because that's all my the tailgate on my little trailer I pull, you know, compost and everything else in, manure and whatnot. It's plywood, you know, so they stole that because it happened to have my license plate on it, I guess. But I even laughed about that one. But then after that, when we moved into our home, we had somebody broke into our home when I was working on it and stole all my power tools. And so that wasn't so funny. But you know, we prayed about it. I told the Lord, I said, well, those tools all belong to you and it's all going to burn anyway someday. So if you want them to steal my tools, well, that's okay. And, you know, and we had insurance. But most of those things were Christmas gifts over the years. And so it had meaning to it. And one of those things, you're going to think I'm nuts, especially some of you who do not understand this at all. But I had a rubber hose to my air compressor that had a brass fitting on the end of it that was given to me by my father when I was 12 years old. And I've used it all these years. And every time I used that spray nozzle on my air compressor, I would think of my dad. And so they stole my air compressor, and they stole that, and they stole it. So when people steal stuff, they don't just steal stuff. They steal memories, and they steal sentimental things. They steal things that have meaning to you that money can never replace. So, but it wasn't that. But then I get a letter from the bank, and a deposit that I had made from the conference in there. There was a bank robbery at the bank. There was a bank robbery at the bank. And so the check that I had deposited from the conference was what was part of what was stolen at the bank. And so I had to contact them. They had to reissue another check. And I mean, so 2017 was the year of the thief as far as we're concerned, okay? But so I'm not sad to see 2017 go away. But so I promise you, 2018 is not going to be perfect. But if you are in Christ, it's going to be okay. So after we got moved into our home, there's a knock at the door. And, of course, they always do this when you buy a new home. And here's a security agency sending their representative by wanting to know if we want security. And, of course, everything's public, and they know that you've had a break-in. So the guy comes to our home, and he wants to know if I want to buy their very expensive, by the way, in his case, security system. And, no, I did not. I was going to go with a cheaper option, you know. So, but he couldn't believe that he couldn't sell me his very expensive security system. And so he looks at me toward the end frustrated, and he says, well, usually when people have a break-in, they're ready to buy anything that'll keep them safe. And I knew right then that he knew that we'd had a break-in. But of course, as I said, they know about that stuff. So I looked at him, and I said, you know, we believe in God, and we have a security system that we trust in. And I said, I said to him, material things are only material things. I said, they don't make up the joy in my life. And he didn't know what to do with that. And so, you know, he just left. But if you have Jesus as the focus of your life, then even if everything is not okay, everything is okay. So many times I've been to the bedside of people who were passing away, and I've come to, quote, comfort them as best a human can do, only to find that they're perfectly comforted because they're not afraid, they're not worried, their peace and their trust is in Christ. In fact, it's almost hard for some people to believe, but in some cases they're actually looking forward to it because they're saying, I want to put this world and its trouble behind me, and I want to sleep in Christ, and I want to look forward to the resurrection and the eternal life that he will give to us. Isn't that good? Because our peace and our trust is not in this world. He wants to bring us the fullness of his presence. And in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. And then in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, if we focus on Jesus, we will have the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering. That means patience with other people. And the tolerance and the goodness and the faithfulness and the self-control that we all so desperately need. So number one, if we want to have more of the presence of God, we need to focus on Jesus. Now this is a Google Earth shot of the home where I gave my life to Christ. It's just to the west of a place called Junction City, Oregon. It's a little community called Cheshire. And we were living there when I was 17 years old in that house right there. And I knelt by my bed about where that star is, that red star. I don't know if you can see it. It's a little bit to the right of that red star where my room was. That night when I went in and I prayed the prayer that I've told you about before, that when I said to the Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to go where you want me to go. Words not eloquent at all, but it came from my heart. And what did it mean? It meant I want to stop living my life for myself. I want to live my life for you. I want to give up my sinful self. And I want to live in Christ. It was a prayer of surrender. And if you're really looking, if you truly want to experience Christ, a prayer of surrender is the best place to start. To say, Lord, whatever it means, whatever you want, if I have to change my thinking, and boy, see, in my case, the question one person gave last week, when you'll remember, I'm sure you will, was, have you ever had anybody in your churches drive you crazy, you know? And I have to say that one of the things over the years that has brought heartache to me is for how people, and it seems as though, it may not always be true, but it seems as though oftentimes people who grow up in the church, whatever the church may be, it could be Baptist, it could be Lutheran, but when people grow up in a church, they often develop an attitude. It's a rebellious attitude, yes, but it's got an edge to it sometimes. And they don't want to change. They want the church to change. There's a big difference. I think I need to change more than the church needs to change. I'm not so concerned about the changes that need to happen in the church because unless God does it, it isn't going to happen anyway. But I am very concerned about the changes that I need to make in my life. And when I first joined the church, I'm coming out of the world. Did I need to change my thinking? Yeah, I had to decide that I needed to take care of my health. Now, you may not think that that's a big deal, but for the typical American male, that's a big deal. You start messing with the typical American male's meat diet, coffee diet, whatever diet, he's going to dig his heels in and he's going to say, wait, and I was a typical American male. I wasn't interested in giving up my meat at all. I especially wasn't interested in giving up pork because I really like pork. I'm sure that if I decided to, I could still really like it, but I don't want to. But that was my favorite thing. And the idea of giving that up, that was a roadblock for me. That was a big deal. And for some of you, you go, that's silly. But for me, that was a big deal. I had to change my thinking about the days of the week. I wasn't going to work 7 days a week anymore like we did in our home. I was going to take the day off. And my first question, what do you do all day? If you don't work, you know, what do you do all day on Saturday? You're going to go to church. Well, that definitely wasn't on my top 10 list of things I wanted to do. You know, and I wasn't going to play ball anymore on Friday night. Or I wasn't going to go to any of the school functions on Saturday. I wasn't going to be part of the school community anymore because it was all on Friday night and Saturday. My whole life was going to be completely turned upside down. So when people talk about changes, when you follow Christ, it's about change. It's about changing the sinful heart for a good heart. It's about changing a crazy way of thinking that you don't think is crazy until you meet Jesus. But then you realize how crazy you were, and you need to change how you think, how you live, how you behave. A lot of changes when you know Christ. And it all starts with a prayer of surrender. See, you need to decide that your way of thinking and your way of behaving is not the end-all and be-all to all mankind. And that maybe you got it wrong. And that maybe Jesus and His Word has it right. That can be a huge thing. But it starts with that decision. So when I knelt down that night by my bed and I prayed that prayer, as I said to you before, I literally felt a change physically take place in my body. I felt the life of God come into my life. See, people often think, especially if they grew up in the church, and this has just been my experience. I have to say that people who grew up in the church seem to have a harder time with this than people who don't, because they've had a safer environment for the most part. They've had a culture that they've become a part of. But there's a difference between a church culture and knowing Christ. So when you have this kind of an experience where you grow up in a culture and you've assimilated into that culture and you don't know the Lord in that culture, then you struggle with stuff like everybody struggles. But you somehow, if you're able to maintain the exterior that the culture requires, you can go to church and have that exterior acceptable to everybody, and so you can maintain your presence there. But see, I didn't have that. I didn't have that acceptable church exterior. So I couldn't go to the church and be acceptable because I didn't have that culture. I wasn't raised in that culture. My whole life was unacceptable to the church. Everything was unacceptable. Except I combed my hair and took a bath. That was probably okay. But other than that, everything else was unacceptable. But when you grow up in the culture and you're acceptable to that culture, then you struggle with stuff behind the scenes and often secretly. And when it doesn't change, and there's really no incentive to change, really, because you're okay with that culture. But when it doesn't change, then you begin to have the idea that, well, then I can't change, or it won't change, or somehow there can't be that change. And so you develop a belief, a system that says, well, I'm not changing, I can't change, so therefore the way I am must be okay. And so then what people do is they start twisting the scriptures to make them say that who I am, what I think, what I do is okay, therefore the Bible must mean this when it says that, because I'm not changing. But it's not because they can't change. It's because they don't know Christ in the way that brings that change about in their life. They know the culture, and they're good at maintaining the culture. But what they really need is the presence and the power of God. So when I knelt down and I prayed that prayer, I had no idea all the changes that were about to come into my life. But little by little, my appetite changed. My attitudes about this and that changed. My habits changed. And like the Bible says there in the book of 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Your emotions can change. Your thoughts can change. Your attitudes can change. Your goals can change. Even the physical aspects of your body can change in Christ. They now know through research that the brain actually goes through actual physical changes when people begin to think differently and do differently. Parts of the brain strengthen and parts of the brain weaken in response to the choices and actions of the individuals. Physiologically, when it says, I will give you a new heart and a new mind, it really is true. To Jesus, who emptied himself for the salvation of lost humanity, the Holy Spirit was given without measure, so it will be given to every follower of Christ when the whole heart is surrendered for his indwelling. If you make 2018 be a year of prayer, you will have more of the presence of God. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. Certainly, you must have heard it somewhere, that that verse means to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. If you don't give up, and you ask with an attitude of repentance, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where you're surrendering every day to, in prayer to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, whatever, you just completely yield it all to Him. Peace will be yours. You'll have peace. You'll have joy. You know, I know one lady, she said, Pastor, I got to tell you this story. And I said, what? She said, well, I have a friend that has a 19-year-old son that is completely incorrigible. She said she has absolutely no idea how to help this young man not kill himself. He's in trouble all the time. She's a Christian lady, faithfully goes to church, faithfully prays every day. She's beside herself. She said, but the most wonderful thing happened. She says that. She said, well, she went to see the pastor. And the pastor said to her, the reason you're so tied up in knots is because you are trying to control this boy. And you are trying to be responsible for everything he is and everything he does. He said to her, you need to give him to God. She said, Pastor, how do I do that? She said, you need to let God be responsible. You need to let God take control. He says, I recommend that you turn him over completely to God in your heart, in your mind, and let God deal with it. So she goes home, and she gets on her knees by her bed, and she prays to the Lord, and she says, Lord, she said, I have been trying to control this kid. I have been trying to come up with one punishment or another to make him behave, and nothing is working. So I'm going to do what the pastor said. I am going to give him completely to you. With tears in her eyes and down her cheeks, she said, if he dies, he dies. If he lives, he lives. But from this moment on, I'm giving him to you. And if you want him to change, then I'm giving you full and complete authority for you to punish him. She said, Lord, you punish him because my punishments don't work. You punish him. You do to him whatever he needs to have done to him to wake him up and turn him around. And when she got up from her knees, she had peace for the first time in years. So that week, she's a happy girl. Her son comes in, you know, for the laundry and the food. And he comes in one day to get some food, and he notices that she's actually even singing in the kitchen. And he says, Mom, you're happy. She said, yeah, I'm happy. Mom, how come you're so happy? She says, well, she said, if you really want to know, she says, I'm happy because I'm not worried about you anymore. You're not? Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Mom. Why aren't you worried about me anymore? She says, well, she said, I went to see the pastor the other day, and he said I should give you to God. She said, so I knelt down by my bed, and I told the Lord how hard it's been for me to live with you and deal with you all these last few years, and how worried I've been about you. He said, I gave you completely to God, and I said to the Lord that my punishments weren't working, and that from now on, that I said, Lord, I want you to punish him. He looks at her and he goes, Mom! She says, I meant it. She says, so you better watch out, because I know he knows how to punish you. And if he wants you to change, you're going to know it. And you know what? That week, he decided to repent of his sins, and he gave his life to Jesus. Prayer is the answer to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom, which understands how to adjust everything perfectly. When we pray, it's like plugging a battery in to a recharge. Even a short amount will recharge your battery a little bit, but the longer and the more earnest you are, the greater and more powerful the charge will be. In Galatians 3, 2, 5, and 14, we ask in faith. We pray and we ask for God's presence. Ask, invite Him. Luke 11, 11 to 13. If we pray and ask God for His Spirit, for His presence, He's more willing to give it than a good parent is to give a good gift to their children. And as we have faith and believe it, you can rise from your knees having asked for that prayer, that gift of the Holy Spirit. You can go out and do your work, whatever it may be. And you can have confidence that God is with you and that His presence is with you. I have a friend. He is an African-American gentleman, a wonderful pastor. He and I are good friends. He was at a pastor's convention down in the South where he lives. And you know, to this day, racial strife is still very much present. And he was checking into his room, and it was outdoor entrance. So he had pulled up his car, and he was taking stuff in. And as he was taking a few things in, he noticed two Caucasian men walking down the sidewalk his direction. And, you know, in the South, and in the case with the climate being the way it is in our time, you can't, if you're a person of color, you can't help but when you see two white guys coming your way, the thought goes through your mind, and he prayed about it. And but he went on into his motel room, and he placed his stuff down there, and he took care of a couple little things, and he walks back out. And by the, when he starts to walk out of the door, these two white guys were there, and they were just walking down the sidewalk, and they just happened to come out at the same time. He's stepping out, and boom, there they are. And they both stepped back, and they looked at him, and one said, "Excuse us, Reverend," and went on their way. He said, "Now, Kevin, I have never seen those men before." He said, "They weren't pastors." He said, "They weren't part of our group." He said, "I have no idea how they knew I was a pastor." He said, "Except for the fact that I had been on my knees that morning and I had asked God to let His presence be upon me." He said, "Somehow they must have sensed that presence." I told you about the witch. Didn't I tell you about the witch in Scotland? Didn't I tell you about that? Did I not tell you about that? We were, okay, I'll make this fast. We were in Scotland to do evangelistic meetings in the city of Dundee. And when I was there, this was back 1995-ish, okay? And so I had my card, and they told me that I could actually walk up to an ATM in Scotland and put my card in an ATM and actually get money out of it with my American card and just do it that way. No special rigmarole to go through, you know? So I was a little surprised. So the first time I did it, I thought, was this going to work? Well, it worked. But you have to calculate, because when you say, "I want 20 bucks, it's actually 37, at least it was then, because the British pound is $1.07, you know, or, you know, for what when you get a British pound. So you have to calculate it. So otherwise, you'll get an overdraft notice. But so I go up to the bank, and this occasion, my wife is in the car, and she's watching this whole thing. And we talked about it for days and days afterwards. So I go up to the ATM. Pretty long sidewalk area here, street behind me, car parked right back over here. I go up to the ATM, and out of the corner of my eye, I can see a lady approaching. And when I first kind of caught her attention, she was about as far as me from that door right over there. And I can see her out of the corner of my eye, just like I can see that door right now. And I noticed that she stops. And when she stopped, she was staring at me. And when she stopped like this. And she was walking, and then all of a sudden she just stops. And you can see her kind of jerk to a stop. And she puts her arms out like this, just like that. And she just stares at me. Kind of made me feel a little weird, you know. She stares at me like that. And I could see out of the corner of my eye that she was dressed as many of the people at that time in Dundee, because Dundee, Scotland, is the world center for witchcraft. That's like the general conference of witchcraft, Dundee, Scotland, okay? And so she was kind of dressed the part, but not like, you know, not like the Wizard of Oz, but, you know, kind of dressed the part. And she's, you know, she's staring at me. And so then she keeps looking at me. She starts to turn her body like this without... She just stared at me the whole time. She never took her eyes off me. And my wife corroborated this, and you can ask her later if you want to. She goes clear out. She makes a big, huge path. And she goes clear out around me like this. I mean, way out around me, like 20 feet, out into the street, because she didn't want to get near me at all. And don't tell me I have that effect on people. But she just goes way out around me like this, you know, and goes clear back out like that. And then when she gets over on the other side, she did the same thing. She just like this and stood and looked at me. And then finally she turned and walked away. And we talked about that for days. And she said, my wife said, did she see your angel? I said, she saw something. Right? She saw something. And it wasn't something she wanted to tangle with. It was something opposite of what she was used to. As then as now, we spend time in prayer. And we ask God to come into our life, to fill us with His presence, to make our faces, our eyes, our words, our tones of our voices acceptable in His sight. And I don't know if you read too much of Ellen White's writings, but in her writings, she talks about the aura that surrounds every person. And that other people, as God permits, can sense that aura. And they can either be drawn to Christ or repulsed from Him. So I pray that God causes us to be appealing to Him. This is Grants Pass, Oregon. Anybody ever been to Grants Pass, Oregon? In this town, I had my first pastoral experience, and there was a lady possessed of an evil spirit in this town. And I can remember praying through the night as God worked a miracle and delivered this lady from evil spirits. And the next day, as the Bible said about another demoniac, she was in her right mind and was a completely different person. And the next Sabbath, she was a person who could sing. And so the next Sabbath, she was singing, "To God be the glory for the great things He has done." She was completely delivered of her spirits, and that evil spirit, and I was a witness to that. And I know the difference that prayer can make. So why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit, since this is the means by which we are to receive power? Why do we not talk of it, the power of the Spirit? Pray for it. Preach concerning it. And then finally, the Bible teaches us in Acts 5:32 and 2:38, Revelation 12:17, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God," that if you have it in your heart, a willingness to obey God, and you really want to obey God, if that is the desire of your heart, then Jesus said it this way in His Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If we really desire to obey God, to walk in His footsteps, to do His will, then He promises to fill us with His presence. I want that. Don't you want that? 2018 can be an awesome, terrifically great year if we focus on Jesus, focus on prayer, and determine to be obedient to God. This is Milo Academy. Only year I ever spent in academy, I spent here. It's access is by the old covered bridge that you see there. That's the church, and that's part of the oval that makes up the campus. And there's a view of it from the airplane. I'll never forget when I went back there as a week of prayer speaker. There was a man there who was a staff member on campus, and he was well known on that campus for having a bad temper at home. Only he didn't know that pretty much everybody on the campus knew that he had a bad temper at home. He thought it was a secret, but word had gotten out because he had a couple of boys who went to school, and you know, they confided in a friend who confided in a friend who confided in a friend. And so the first thing you know, there's people knew that he had a real problem at home. That's interesting. I've often pondered about that. It's like my brother-in-law. He would never drink at work, ever. He would only drink at home. And he died in his 40s from cirrhosis of the liver because he would drink at home, but not on the job. And it's funny how sin does things with the way people think and do. They can control their temper at work, but when they go home, they let it fly. That was his case. Terrible thing to live with. He later told me, he said, "Every day of my life," he said, "I carried this load of guilt around that I could never get rid of." He said, "I was so miserable." He said, "I would go out and smile and pretend to be the Christian." And he said, "But when I'd go home," he said, "I would be the devil." He said, "I just felt terrible all the time." During that week of prayer that we had there, to make a long story short, one night he got up. He didn't know that everybody knew, but one night he got up and he stood up and in a trembling, tearful voice, he said, "I need to confess something." His wife and his two boys were sitting there, and he began to talk about his terrible temper. He began to talk about how he would rage and how he would lose control and how he was making the life of his wife and his boys miserable. And with a tearful voice, he confessed his sin And he asked for the help of the people in that church, that they would pray for him, that they would help him seek the help he needed so that he could overcome this problem. And he sank to his knees after he made that confession. And his wife and his children got up. They surrounded him. They hugged him. And people in that church got up from all over the church, and they went to him. They surrounded him. They hugged him. They prayed. They laid hands on him. They prayed for him. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus touched that man's life. He became a converted man. And the power of evil that had gripped him for so long was removed from him, and he became a Christian man. So it may be with us. Let's let 2017 go on its way. Let's seek the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in 2018 by focusing on Jesus, by being faithful in prayer, and by seeking to be obedient to His Word. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Pray with me. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Lord Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. We bring to You today the past, however good or bad it has been. But we do not want our past to define us, Lord. We want You to lay out our future. We know that the path of the just is to grow brighter and brighter until that day. So no matter our background, our race, no matter our education, our station in life, no matter our age, no matter our gender, we ask You, Lord, to take us today and cause us to become overcomers, that we will walk in the light and the power of Your Word, and that our faces will shine with the presence of Your glory as we go from day to day in Your Word and in prayer. And may our lives be a blessing to everyone we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.